All right. Praising the Lord with his people, I am so glad to be here this morning. And the joy of the Lord will be my strength. And as we enjoy this time, as we prepare for communion, we have a word from God today. And I'm so thankful to teach the word of God and so privileged to teach the word of God. And as some of you have, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but teaching a book of scripture verse by verse and getting through it. And here we are. What book have we been teaching? Anybody? Tell some of our visitors. Philippians. Yes, we've been in Philippians. Why don't you get a hold of a copy of God's Word and open up to the book of Philippians, and we're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to be finishing up here. I might have one more message. I believe the Lord's kind of already started one, so if this is going to happen, we'll do one more week, but I have in the fourth chapter here, we're going to proclaim a little bit of probably why the reason Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians in the first place. And before we get into that, there were some things on my mind, because as this is going to be about giving, that could be a touchy subject often in church world today. And what I see in New Testament understanding of how the church operates and the examples of us worshiping, expressing ourselves in Yahweh worship, the praises of the one true God, I see about five examples of how we express that worship as we come together in this, what we call church. Now, church is not an activity. Church is a body of people, but we call it, you know, our language. This is church. We do church. What do we do here? Biblically, we do life. I like that. That's excellent. Maybe you should come up here and preach too. One of the things I like, I have about five examples out of the New Testament that I can grab hold of how we express this. And we're doing all of these today. One of them is prayer. The early church prayed. They spent time in one accord crying out to God. We do that here briefly, but we also extend that on Sunday evenings. I hope you all do that in a regular time by yourself, but there's something about coming together corporately in prayer. Singing, which we just did. Singing new songs and hymns of praise and scripture songs to the Lord. There's just something about getting a group of Christ followers, Jesus lovers, and letting them sing praises to the Lord. Also, what we're doing right now, we proclaim the Word of God. We preach. We teach the Word of God. What a privilege to be able to do and hear the things that God has to say to us. A little later today, after I'm done, we're going to take communion. Another aspect, the fourth aspect, as the body came together, they would fellowship in meals. But there was something special about taking the elements of that communion meal that Jesus said, "Remember me in this." Very special. And then the last one I see the early church, and they did this expressively, selflessly, was giving. They worshiped unto the Lord. And this wasn't all just the New Testament. This was all throughout the Bible, the giving to worship God and express what he has given and giving back for the glory of him. So all these expressions work in connection to allow us, the church, the body of Christ, to experience what we were created to do, to worship God. That's why you were made. That's why you were created. Whether it was 6,000 years ago or today you were born, as we still haven't seen Nora. I'm hoping I'm going to grab hold of Robbie and Sam, tell them, you got to get back to church here. We've been talking to them, but we'll see little Nora. And no matter how old you were, are, or is now, you are created to worship God. And today we're going to talk about the action of worshiping God through giving. Why do we give of our income? Why do we do that? For what purpose does it actually transpire that we do this for? What happens when we do this giving thing? And then who should we be giving to? There's a lot of questions, and those is a topic many like to preach a lot on. I tend to maybe shy away from, but because we teach verse by verse here, it's coming up, and I get to teach on it. So it's not to point something out. It's not to call somebody out. I just want to teach the Word of God. And surprisingly, with giving, there's a lot of confusion. There really just is. How do I do this? For what? What is the reason for all of this? Does God really need my money? Well, it could be a touchy subject, and I want to take say over the years the abuses that have come forth and the understandings of, well, I don't know what you're all doing with that money that we all give. I get it. I really do. I get there's an understanding, but I want to stick to what the Bible says. I want to stick to what God's Word is teaching us. And through this, though this is not an exhaustive teaching on giving, hopefully we will see in Scripture what God says, and we will be willing seekers of God on this subject. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll lift up this time. Father God, I thank you. The awesomeness of who you are revealed in Scripture to us. And that's just a glimpse of the mighty power of who you are. One day in heaven, we'll get to see that new every day and eternity upon eternity upon eternity. Over and over, always being new, you revealing yourself more and more. But you've shown us some things on this earth. And you revealed it in your word. So open up these scriptures, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit work into us. Take, like we just heard, where you want us to go. Take us, Lord. We are willing. We want to surrender. We want to be open to what you want to do in our lives. Speak to our hearts. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen? Amen. All right, everybody in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20. When you're there, say there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read. You can stand if you are able. We're going to take some time to read these 10 verses. And we're going to come back and exegesis on this. Chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regarding to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to get a hold of what Paul's teaching here. I'm really excited because, you know, there's a gift in the church world of giving. You all know that, right? One of the gifts of a person that the Holy Spirit can give you is the gift of giving. And it's really amazing. I've seen people like that. Freedom and I have experienced that in our lives, and I hope you all too. Because really, in the gist, say it in a sentence. Here it is, a sermon in a sentence. It is a special privilege to give to the things of God. It is a special privilege to give to the things of God. And I want to understand the biblical view of giving being that special privilege, because if it is, what do I need to do and how does it work? So understanding this, many blessings that can come from giving, learning to obey God. It's one of the understandings, learning to obey God. Another one is you're sharing in the advancement of his kingdom. Sharing into the advancement of the gospel. Next, we can see strengthening your belief in God as provider. God is your provider. Strengthening that belief comes from the giving aspect. Seeing how this is an act of worship. Another way that it blesses you is it looses the grip of greed on your hearts. Do you understand? Inherently in our hearts, we're greedy people. Me, myself, and I. Loosen that grip by giving. Really, loved ones, it's all about faith building. Growing in faith, growing in the graces of God and glorifying Him. And many of you are probably writing that down. Those were just a little list that I came up with to kind of intro. I want to start with this point. Point number one, give so the gospel can go forth. Give so the gospel can go forth. Question, who here, who is a born-again believer of Jesus, came to Christ by either reading a Bible, a verse, coming to understanding through Scripture, a Christian book that maybe explained the gospel? You came to Christ by a loved one who told you about Jesus and their relationship with Him. You came to faith by hearing the gospel in church or on a Christian radio or TV program. Or any other way you either heard or understood the gospel. Anybody here come to faith that way? You better all like raise your hand, you know. Kind of, it's an all-inclusive question, right? Bill, what are you talking about? That's like everybody. It is. You're right. My point is, any avenue that you were on and came to hear and believe, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Any avenue that you heard and believed, the gospel took finances to get that to you. Somehow a tangible expression of that materially had to come forth in order to do that. If it was by verbal, someone had to teach somebody that. Somebody else had to preach that. It all started back with Jesus and Paul and Peter and James. And here we see Paul telling us, you supplied my necessities. You gave the need out of your own. You gave to me. And so understanding that it took finances, somebody, somewhere, somehow, financially supported the way you heard and believed. That's a big deal. That means some money that came out of somebody's pocket, worked through the power of God and his miracle ways to bring to you to eternal salvation. Huh? Really? Now there's more to it, loved ones. I don't want to kind of dumb down the gospel. There's God working there. But you understand the human aspect behind it all is the awesomeness of you participating in the work of God and the gospel through finances. And the Philippians were doing just that. They were actually giving Paul the needs that he needed to do his work. And when you give to your church, and when you give to other ministries or other people proclaiming the word, you are indirectly, and sometimes directly, responsible for a person's salvation. And that's good news. That gives you an excitement. Now, you all looking at me, you ain't that all excited about that. Let's get a little excited. When you're giving to God, you're directly or indirectly affecting a soul for eternity. Can I get an amen? And that's just 1 Corinthians. Let me illustrate that, please, Bill. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's in Corinthians. He's talking to this church. It's a messed up church. But he's telling them something about, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. We were doing something. We were giving in of our work so that others can hear the gospel, and God came in. God did something. He gave the increase. And so Paul commends the Philippians here in verse 15 and 16, chapter 4. He says that, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. These were the only people. Paul, the apostle. Paul, don't you have a throngs of people supporting your ministry? Nope. At this point, it was only the Philippians. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. He's telling them, thank you. He's telling them, look, I got a lot of work to do. I have to tell these people and set up churches and point elders and go into these towns and bring Timothy and Titus along with me so they can go out. And I need help because, look, I can't be building tents all my life. I have important work to do. And God has equipped you all to give as a Philippian church to bring forth the gospel message. So they're participating in the work of the kingdom. But Paul was not just thankful for the gift. It was so that he could be a blessing and tell them what he really was after in verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Here's the understanding of the finances in eternity. When you take your finances and you sow into the things of the gospel in eternity, you will have no better investment when you come to meet Jesus one day. That is the equivalent of the biggest stock explosion you can ever experience here. And how many of you, maybe some of you have had that back in the days of Microsoft and 2000.coms and all that was going on, people making money hand over fist, and it all fell away. Boy, were they excited. They got thousands and millions of dollars, but it disappeared like that. But you know, when you give of what God has given you, that doesn't go away. That's for eternity that you're sowing into. And that is a big deal. So not because Paul was wanting to get the gift, and also not because he needed the money. Verse 10, he says very clearly, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He wasn't getting on him. Hey, you haven't sent it. Where is it? You haven't seen that there was an opportunity. And I want you to be blessed to know that you're doing this again. And as he goes on in verse 11, the reason Paul does this in verse 11 through 13, I'll read this and I'll explain real quick. Not that I seek in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's telling them, look, there's a lot of people going around here peddling their philosophies. I don't need all of this, but it does go forth to help me bless the kingdom of God, and you're part of that. He's kind of giving them an understanding. It's not that I need it, but it's got to be needed in order to go forth. And as Paul's doing that, he's proclaiming to the Philippians and to us, the contentment comes from Christ sufficiency, not self-sufficiency. We can get caught up in that, right? We start getting comfortable. We start getting our paycheck. We get into our habits, our routine. And the next thing we know, I don't need God anymore. And I'm just doing a routine. I'm doing a religion. You see, the secret to contentment, loved ones, is in times of plenty or times of want. Get this now. Recognizing the power of Christ at work in us to accomplish his good purpose. It's all about Jesus and his glorification and using us to go along with the program. Now, I want to be on that team. I want to be on that program, and that's what it is. Truth is, those who embrace the secret and sacrificially give to further the gospel, you will find, I guarantee, God will supply all your needs. He does it every time. Anybody ever put that to the challenge and he failed them? Anybody? Nobody should be raising their hand. I have always put him to the challenge at that, and it's always been a blessing. So the results in God receiving the eternal glory, I being blessed in the peace of knowing he's at work, and I'm partnering with God Almighty. And so this leads me to point number two. You give to support ministry leaders. You give to support ministry leaders. Paul's proclamation about being content is commendable. I think that he had to get that out due to the culture. We all need to be a help in breaking the grip of materialism, but Paul had work to do. And he's writing letters, he's teaching scriptures, he's organizing teams, and he's needing supplies, both personally and corporately, to do the work. And as he had a little problem here in Philippians, where was Paul? Anybody remember where Paul was when he was writing this Philippians letter? He was in jail. He had a little problem. His tent business wasn't going too well. The canvas wasn't there for him to peddle the tents out on the streets. He was under house arrest. And so here was the opportunity that he's talking about to the Philippians in verse 10. I'm in jail now. I can't do anything. I need some help from you guys. And so as it was bad for Paul, and the Philippians could have said, wow, that's too bad. I think we'll just pray for you, Paul. They didn't stop there. They said, you know what? What does he need? We're going to take up that offering. We're going to supply his needs, and we're going to get out and get involved in the ministry. And so they physically got involved. They physically got the gift. They sent the people, and they gave it to Paul. Simple fact is, it's more than money that's going on here. It's the ministry that's being done through Paul that they're being a part of. And so men and women who have answered God's call and faithfully served deserve to be supported. And that's not my opinion. I know I'm a little biased on that level, but it's not my opinion. Let me bring some more scriptures here. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians. Everybody turn on over. Hold your place in that book in Philippians. Turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll give you a moment to do that. I'm going to bring forth another letter from Paul to the Corinthians here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gives three reasons why Christian leaders, why ministry people should be supported. In verse 7, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7, he lists the reason as human culture. Because human culture says so. If you look there, he's talking about soldiers, farmers, and shepherds. Soldiers, farmers, and shepherds, they all get paid. Shouldn't the ministry people get paid? But is that all, Paul? What else do you have? Let's look at verse 9. Number second reason he gives is the Mosaic law says so. He says there, don't muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. He's quoting Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. The Old Testament, the new, the understanding that that old is the same for the new. And interesting there, look at the last. Does God take care of the oxen? In other translations, does God really just care about the oxen? What he's saying is he's got more care for the people than the oxen. It wasn't the ox he was making a point about. And then number 3, verse 14, here's the big one. The Lord himself says that the ministry leaders should get paid. And out of this, you can quote verse 10:10 of Matthew. It's Jesus talking, and when he says, the worker is worthy of his food, and that those who preach the gospel shall live by the gospel. So you might think, okay, I got some reasons. I got culture. I got the understanding of the Old Testament. I got Jesus himself saying this. So Bill, what should I be doing? How does this work? How does this look? Should I support the church? Where should I give my money? Can I give it to anywhere? What's the big deal where I give it? Well, this is a good question. Who should I be supporting? And before I get to that, probably the most pointed I'm going to be in my message today, and I don't mean this by any offense, but I want to get to our heart a little bit before we start doing things. If you are a born-again believer, and you are not giving of your increase to God, you're robbing him. You're robbing him. And in all honesty, and I say this with love, you have no comprehension of who God really is. You have no comprehension of God as your provider. God who he says he is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a heart issue. Bill, why are you being so strong about that? I want to go to Matthew again. Jesus taught more about money than any other subject that he ever taught about. And I want to go to Matthew 19 as Jesus encounters the rich young ruler. This is a powerful story when you dig deeper into it. This young man comes to Jesus, says, good teacher, how must I go to be saved? Well, I've done everything. I've kept all the commandments since I was a little boy. And Jesus, it says, looked upon him with love. And he looked at him and he says, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And in verse 22 of Matthew 19, the response comes back from the rich young ruler. And he says, the story says he went away sorrowful for he had great possessions. He did all the right stuff. He had everything. He sat in church, sit, stand, kneel. He came. He did everything. But he didn't comprehend who God was. And he didn't realize that his heart was far from God. And the reason I take it so seriously, loved ones, is because in this story, Jesus didn't go after him. Jesus let him go. And he made his choice. And we never hear another word of that young man. It's very serious with money and our hearts. It's why Jesus taught about it. It's why he preached all over about it. And he's telling us again, it's all about hearts. In fact, he goes on in that story to tell us that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And so coming back, who should I be supporting? What should I be giving to? Well, in Malachi 3:10, I'm going to just go through scriptures on this and we'll be concluding here in a moment. Malachi 3:10 tells us about the tithes and bringing it into the storehouse. You see, the storehouse is the Old Testament equivalent of the local church. The first recipients of your funds should be your local church. Where it is, the place that you are ministering with, you're coming together with a group of body of people, you should be giving, it says a tithe, that should be a 10%. Given to the church. And the first recipient given to you is because you're being ministered to. You're being given the word of God. So first, who should I give it to? Your local church. Number two, what we call the parachurch or other ministries, missionaries, Christian work outside the local church. And we do that here. We take up missions offerings and sometimes you go, you get a child and you adopt a child. You give the voice of the martyrs. You support Israel. You could do all kinds of offerings outside of the church local. So you can give to that. A third place you can give is what I call general benevolence. This would just be helping people out, whether in the church, which is preferred above others, but also what about people on the side of the street? You give them something. You hand them, hey, I need something here. Give them some money. Those are ways you can support people. A great story of one who understood this heart of giving was a man named Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand was of the Tortured for Christ story. He was in jail in Romania. He was tortured beyond anyone's belief of, this is over almost 100 years ago now. And as he was being tortured, the story goes, Richard Wurmbrand of Tortured for Christ and Voice of the Martyrs said that when he was in prison, they tithed. Get that. He tithed when he was in prison. How did that work? This is what was said. When we were given one slice of bread a week and dirty soap. Did you catch that? One slice of bread a week and dirty soap. We decided to faithfully tithe even that. And so every 10th week, We took the slice of bread and the soap and gave it to our weaker brother as a tithe to our master.
Wow.
That's 2 weeks without a slice of bread. And he wasn't getting a feast after that. He understood God as his provider and understood the worship aspect that was in giving to the Lord. What an act of worship. So that's who you should give to. What about our last point here? Give to receive. Why should I give? So you can receive. Wait, Bill, isn't that kind of selfish? Well, I'm not talking about receiving as your motive. That is selfish. But we have to understand how this all works with God. You see, giving to God delights him. And he delights in blessing those who are generous. He just does that. Story after story. It's not always with stuff either, loved ones. Do you understand the blessing of just being at peace, knowing my God is my provider and he gives everything I need? And it seems the more I give, the more he gives me. I don't accumulate a lot, but I'm never in need. There's something to that when you receive that peace from God. Let's look at verse 17. He says there, Paul, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul goes on to say that he would meet your needs, God would, in verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ for his glory. He wouldn't have said that if there wasn't a reason why I'm giving, that God's going to provide more. And so as we worship God and we give to God, my statement is this, and I've heard it said, 90% with you and God will always better you than 100% by yourself. All that means is when I take the 90% after I've given 10 to the Lord's work, I'm better off than having all that 100% by myself. You will be blessed in many ways. And so understanding that God's plan for you is to be prosperous and to be healthful and to understand that he teaches again in Malachi. We're going to go back over there if you want to go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. He actually says, try me on this. Do you know that's the only thing you shouldn't test the Lord, right? But there's one thing he said, test me on. And in Malachi 3:10, he says, try me on this and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings on you, that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's quite a statement by God. Some people might come to me and go, Bill, I just don't understand this giving thing. Where should I start? What I tell them, and this is for anybody who may be struggling, I don't look at anybody's giving. I know nothing of what you all give, and that's a blessing for me. But I will tell you this, if you're struggling with giving and you're not giving to the Lord, I don't know if I can make it, I got my bills to pay. I challenge you to this. He's saying, test me. Can you test the Lord for 3 months and give what he says to give and see what he does? That's my challenge to each of you. Nobody said amen there. Come on now. Can you be challenged by God for 3 months and see what he does if he will not open the gates of heaven and pour blessing onto you? So as we understand that giving is a blessing and receiving is a blessing, it's really about God refreshing you. It's really about God releasing you. It's really about God giving you freedom. And you don't really give to get, but you will get when you give. And that is an awesome understanding of God. So we're going to prepare our hearts for communion here. I'm going to take a moment. I didn't assign anybody. Who wants to serve communion? Can I get a few people to serve? I'm sorry, I didn't assign anybody. Okay, Tom, can I get you? Yes? Why don't we do that? You guys can serve a small crowd here, so we can do that. You know, I'm just hearing today that when we give, we join in the advancement of the gospel. When we give, we support Christian workers. When we give, we join in God's provisional abundance so that you can give more. Meditate on what God has given you. Allow him to work in your heart. We're going to take a moment to prepare for communion. We're going to take some time of quiet, have a little music in the background. And as Freeman and Tom serve, receive the elements. Anybody who wants to, has a relationship with Jesus Christ and wants to participate, is free to participate in communion. And I'll just bless you as we start serving out the elements. Go ahead. Praise you, Lord. As these elements are being passed out, I want us to take a bit of time to reflect. Scripture says to examine ourselves. I'm going to read this scripture for you. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is serious. With all heads bowed as you're being served, you receive, just close your eyes and examine ourselves. We heard about finances. There's an aspect. Jesus taught much on finances, but there's other aspects in our hearts that may need to be laid at the foot of the cross. Let's not eat of this and participate of this in an unworthy manner, but being able to let the Holy Spirit fill our cups because they're clean. You can repent right now. You can give to the Lord. I repent of that attitude. I repent of that action. Lord, I am laying that down and calling it sin, and I'm not going to come back anymore. You can leave here free. You can leave here with a joy that is inexpressible and a peace that can't be attained any other way. That's a miracle, I believe, that happens in communion. I believe physical healing happens in communion. The Lord's body being remembered. Meditate on some of that as we prepare to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father God, you are the one true, the true being who created us all. In our hearts, as we meditate on the blessings that you have given, the abundance that you have given, the health that you have given, a heart of thankfulness comes upon us, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. You are so worthy to be worshipped, so worthy to be praised. Not looking to hurry through this, but to take some time with you, Lord. Lord, let our hearts be filled with your presence again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Holding these elements, remembering the Lord's work. Maybe remembering that way we came to you, Lord. That beautiful day or that time period when I finally stepped over the line from thinking or wondering to believing and receiving. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our hearts. For those here who may struggle with that, Lord, can you bring forth an understanding of salvation through Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, knowing that they're a sinner, they can't reach to you, God, but Jesus Christ did the work of restoration between God and man. Let them believe this morning. Let them come to belief and receive your free gift and turn their lives over to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As we take these elements into our hands and we acknowledge what they really are, they're symbols of the body and blood of Christ. And it says here in the scriptures that on that day, that Passover night, that time where the Jews came together and celebrated what happened in Egypt, but Jesus now realized it was going to be fulfilled in him that night. It says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, unleavened, sinless, representing his body. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take this, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper. And this he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, walking in freedom and the blessing of who God is isn't just something we attain to and then move on. It's a daily walk, loved ones. And each day, God gives you the grace needed to do what he needs you to do and to walk in his wonderful promises. You are loved. You all have a great week in the Lord. We hope to see some of you tonight at prayer. God bless you.